Some claim that the age of a true gentleman is far behind us, but here at Tweetform Media, obviously, we disagree. He may appear in different guises today, but the values and ideals that make him a gent still stand. Gentlemen, aspiring gentlemen, and of course, the women that hold us down, I'm Ron Grant. Welcome to The Art of a Distinguished Gentleman, a show poised to help guide modern-day men into 21st century distinguished gentlemen. Now, don't worry, it doesn't always involve suits and bow ties, but raw, real-life lessons that translate to grounded, community-minded, well-rounded men. Thank you all for taking this journey with me. Following one's passions is not always easy, mainly because there are always naysayers, persons who feel as though your dreams are too big. They're dream smashers. Ignore them. You don't need them, and they don't add to your success. As long as you have the ability to tune them out, you'll be good. My next guest, and I go way back, I mean high school, college. We were just two aspiring artists with 2020 vision of the way forward. He is by far one of the dopest of our time, a true millennial professional. He's a talented, honest, and one of the most hardworking people that I know. Joining me on set today is the BVI's finest, Mr. Robert Swain, also known as Swain Show, on The Art of a Distinguished Gentleman. We'll talk fatherhood, entrepreneurship, making dreams a reality. It's a conversation, ladies and gentlemen, you don't want to miss. All this and more after a word from our sponsors. Welcome back. Robert Swain Jr., a.k.a. Robbie, a.k.a. Swain Show. What's Welcome up? To The Art of the Distinguished
Thank
Gentleman.
You. Thank cheers. You. Cheers, cheers, cheers.
So in the intro, I spoke about us being in high school together and also in college. Mm-hmm. I'm sure for you it was the same with me when persons knew that you were going to art school and knew that you were going to pursue acting. It was like, what are you doing? Tell me about that process in determining and saying, this is what I want to do. Where did that come from?
To be 100% honest, I always knew that I wanted to. It was when I was 3 years old. That's what my mom told me. She said, when I was 3 years old, I sat in front of the TV and I said, I want to be an actor. I didn't know that that happened until I was about 20.
Okay.
So imagine I'd already been in school for like 2 years, not knowing that I said this when I was in, when
Got
I was
it.
Three.
Got it. Got it.
So pursuing it wasn't an option. I had no choice. Acting for me, I was a very emotionless child. So I think the reason I gravitated towards the theater was because I was able to play a bunch of different people.
Okay.
People that got into their emotions for different reasons. And I would get into those emotions. Mm-hmm. But in real life,
you shut it down.
Yeah.
You entertain it.
I wouldn't even say shut it down. Like I that's just how I was. I wasn't purposely shutting anything down. Okay. Like I think that's something. And the guy that you said shut it down, because people, that's the first thing people think, that you're purposely trying to hide your feelings, or, you know, I just didn't know how.
I didn't know how.
It wasn't in me. I wasn't designed that way. The things that I went through as a kid, I wasn't designed that way. You know what I mean? I grew up really, really fast.
Okay.
So getting into theater, it was like, wow, I could like really show emotion. Like I could feel emotion, like for the first time. That was first time feeling emotion was through theater. So pursuing it, I just had to. I'm going to college. When I told people I was going to college, there was actually only one person that didn't believe in me.
Okay.
And then it was a family member.
Don't we have something in common?
And I think that's what really motivated me to even leave.
Wow.
Anyway. I mean, I was going to go anyway, but it was a family member, a close family member.
So I have a story that I'd like to share with you, actually. Mm-hmm. A couple of days before I left for San Francisco, mm-hmm. the Academy of Art, we both went to the Academy of Art University in San Francisco, yes. a private art school. They majored in
one of the largest private art schools.
And most expensive, too. But a couple of days before I was leaving in, I believe it was, 20-something, right? Mm-hmm. I was going to dinner and I was having a conversation with a family friend of mine, a close family person, individual that I was really, really instrumental in making the way forward. And we were joined in that conversation by my dad. Mm-hmm. And this is like 2 days before I'm going to college, right? And my dad says to me, Ron, you got to find something else to do. You know, this TV thing, it just, you know, it don't make no sense. Like, it can't, my hat on mechanic money, this it, you can't use it.
Right.
And I was so upset. I was so discouraged. I was so pissed off. And he didn't mean any ill by it at all. Mm-hmm. He was being himself. He was being genuine.
Yeah.
Being as defiant as I was at that time, as you know, I went to California and I studied the same thing that my dad told me not to study, Robbie. And it wasn't until I graduated that he realized that I had majored in film and television, as well as minored in multimedia communications. Yeah. And of course, I'm sure you could imagine just like the anger, the anxiety. Mm-hmm. And to this day, my dad is my biggest fan.
Yeah.
You can't tell him nothing.
Yeah.
Like, so supportive. Likewise.
And that's the same person that told me that. Yeah. So likewise.
Yeah. So that's a lesson to you, gentlemen. I mean, they're going to be naysayers. They don't always deliberately, I think, mean you ill, but they're not able to see your 2020 vision. They don't get it.
None of that.
But if you're serious about it, then do it, regardless of what people have to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. What was your experience like going to the Academy of Art University that you'd like to take away and give persons? Because college, first of all, is not for everyone.
Yeah. No.
What would you say to young men as it pertains to, you know, going to college and finding purpose?
It's college for me. It was a thrill. It was a thrill because I think at the time, the school wasn't as popular as it is now.
Correct.
Yeah. I was there 2007, 2008, I think is when I started. And
I joined in 2010.
Yeah. And being, going there, I knew no one. I had no family in Cali, period, no friends. So when I pulled up, it was just like day one, jump in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, I don't know how my mother even felt, to be honest, but going was the best thing I ever done. I think during my time there, I did like 50 something films.
Wow.
In 2.5 years. Yeah. I was just filming like crazy.
That was it. That was life.
That was life.
Commitment.
And it was the best thing that ever happened for me. I regret certain things, but that was like certain things like personally. It wasn't having nothing to do with school or my career. Maybe my career would have been better if I had made better choices with my personal life.
Okay.
That's from in college. After that is a whole different ball game. But I found myself I was riding a wave. I was riding a wave.
Wow.
To the point where like people back home, when they see videos, they think like I made it. You know what I mean? Like, and that's the thing. Like when they come back home, people are like, oh, he got money now. Like, no, what are you talking about? Like, why doing his school?
Films?
I'm in a studio. It's millions of dollars worth. Yeah. Yes, it looks great. You know, it's on YouTube, but I'm not making no money. You see all these videos, people think I made it. Like, I didn't make it. That was school films. Yeah. But I would encourage anybody who has a talent or think that they have a talent, just if you know for sure that your talent makes you feel a certain way, go after it. Go after it. Yes, the struggle was real afterwards, but even the decision to leave school, because I didn't graduate with a bachelor's degree.
Right.
I graduated with an associate's degree. Why? Because I had four professors telling me it's time to go. They're like, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your money. You're wasting your talents because you're going to have to start over again when you go to LA. We were in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, the film industry is big in San Francisco, but not as big as LA.
As in LA.
So I had professors telling me, yo, you have to leave. Just go. Like, you have enough credit to take your associates. Go. Like, if your parents think that is a degree that you want, a
they
degree
get it. In acting, you've got it. Yeah.
It's only something on paper. That's not going to do anything. You know what I mean? So the decision to go itself, you know, it was just like, nah, I have to. Like, let's just jump with it.
You speak about the thrill, and it's something that I think only persons who've experienced it could understand, because it's the same thing with me. When I went to college, I would never forget the first day. It was almost like you're waiting out, you know, let's see who really wants to be here.
Yeah.
And I'd never forget, Robbie, I sat in front of the teleprompter reading a script that I had never seen before. And I was like, oh shit, this is it. This is it.
Yeah.
There you go. Mm-hmm. That's it. It was like euphoria. Like, I cannot explain it. I literally, in that moment, a student, I was just like, you found it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you got it. And that was the most amazing feeling. Mm-hmm. Subsequently, after that, of course, the training and the auditions and the traveling back and forth from San Francisco to LA and different states in pursuit of that, persons don't understand the intensity of it. But when you find that passion, gentlemen, and you know for sure that's it. For us, it was the arts. It is the arts. But for some other person, it might be, you know, medicine, it might be education, maybe entrepreneurship, it might be different things. But when you find it and you know it, and your spirit, your gut tells you that that's it, then that's all you have to hold on to. Absolutely. It's the most amazing feeling.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Entrepreneurship. We got some Jello shots.
Yes.
The one and only On The Rocks. Taking over really entertainment and bartending. Tell us about your business.
Okay. On The Rocks is a bartending service. We provide bartenders for weddings, party, events, birthday parties, private parties, villas. If you want a bartender just for you and your wife at home.
Okay.
We do that as well. We
Interesting.
Do a lot of private functions that we don't really talk about because we don't. There's certain, I guess there's certain people that want that privacy. So
of course,
certain things I definitely wouldn't put on social media. But yeah, On The Rocks itself is like a lifesaver. Because On The Rocks started because I was broke. I was totally broke when On The Rocks started. I wasn't working. I was doing renovations with Don.
This was after Irma.
This was after Irma. So I, okay.
Yeah, rewind.
So after Irma, I left my headset to pay. I was a manager out there.
Okay.
And in, I guess, the October of 2017, 2 months after Irma, I left. And because things wasn't really, it wasn't really moving forward. So it was just time to go. So I started to do renovations with Jarsav Renovations. And that's my cousins, if it's all family, like family company or whatever. And at the time when On The Rocks started, that was last year, March. And at that time, things were kind of slow with the renovations, and I was just like, yo, I need to use my skills
to do something.
And bartending is it, but you know, what can I do? So that's how On The Rocks really started.
Amazing stuff. What has the response been like?
Amazing. Yeah. And it's thanks to a team, the people that I chose to be with me, that, you know what I mean? They really try to represent On The Rocks more than me.
Wow.
Like when I carry my team there, like they really try to give their 200%. Days when I don't want to give no percent,
they're giving their best.
So it's like, it's really the people that I choose. So I have people messaging me all the time, like, hey, you have bad, you know, you need bartenders. I'm like, to be honest, nope.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't know if I could get rid of
my
the team.
Is
I have.
Committed.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I mean, if they're not available, yeah, but.
Mm-mm. Tell us about entrepreneurship, because for a lot of people, the vision is there, the dream is there, but it's a lot of apprehension and reservation. Don't want to perhaps leave their job, or it's just like, is this going to work? What would you say to young men who are interested in, and sometimes it happens by chance, just like with you, you know, getting into it. What would you say to them has been your number one lesson so far in entrepreneurship?
Start small.
Okay.
Start super small. Like, If you have a job already, but you know you don't want to be there next year, start from now, no matter how small it is, no matter how much money you're making, as long as you're making a dollar profit, there's no way that you can lose ever. Fear. I know fear is it's fear of trying to go and do your own thing and not having that secured check.
Yes.
It's fear of what somebody might say because you hold their words so high. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's the people closest to you that give you that. And as you said before about your dad, it's not that it's ill mind.
Intentional. Yeah.
Yeah. That's how they feel in their time.
That's their vision.
They can't,
a different generation, different purpose. Yeah.
Exactly. So I would say just go at it, but go at it small. Start small.
Okay.
Start where you know if you spend $100 that you're not going to cry about the $100 being lost. You know what I mean? If you spend $50, it's not going to, like, On The Rocks, I started with $0, like nothing. You know what I mean? I didn't have any equipment. I didn't have the equipment that I have now, like the shakers, the fruit trees and all. I didn't have any of that. I had napkin holders. The first job is when I bought those stuff. You know what I mean? And then it's like, save the first job. I made $200. I only spent like $70 on those stuff just to like, and then the rest was just on bills.
Wow.
You know what I mean? So, and then now I have enough equipment. Now I'm giving it away. Like, you know what I mean? Like a friend just started a new bar and he needed a fruit tray and napkin holders. I was like, hey, bro, you need this? Like, there you go.
I got you.
You know what I mean? Like, so yeah, just start small. Start small. If you want to be a big risk taker and put all your money in it, if you know it's going to be a short thing, go ahead to it.
That's what you want to do. Yeah.
If you fail, you fail.
I respect that.
Yeah.
And entrepreneurship is definitely, it's not a simple thing, but a tell you, gentlemen, just like what Robbie is saying, it takes a lot of dedication. It takes sacrifice. It starts and ends with you. You got to be the first one in. You got to be the last one to leave. If you don't believe in your brand, if you don't take it seriously, then it's not going to work. It's not an easy task, but the rewards are absolutely amazing. Yeah. Amazing, amazing. Gentlemen, we are about to take a Jello shot, but we're going to be right back after this commercial break. You're sticking with us. You're watching The Art of a Distinguished Gentleman with the one and only Robert Sweene of On the Rocks. Welcome back. As I told you before, we're about to take a Jello shot with the man himself of On the Rocks. So we're going to do that. Sure. Take this one. You grab one.
Yes.
These are different flavors, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So what you have there is lime at the top, and I think either strawberry, banana, or cherry at the bottom.
All right. Cheers.
Cheers.
Mm-hmm.
So these started similar. Again,
mm-hmm.
renovations was not running. And one day, me and my girlfriend were hosting a game day.
Uh-huh.
And I was trying something else at first. But I won't say what the something else is because it's still in the works, right? But then I was like, how am I going to transport this? Blah, blah, blah. And then I went on Facebook. Somebody said, hey, who makes Jello shots?
Hmm.
I was like, ping! Light bulb, me. I make Jello shots. Uh-huh. I never made Jello in my life, right? I was like, me, I made Jello shots. So imagine the first time I ever made Jello shots or Jello period,
uh-huh.
I made like $60 off of it. You know what
Interesting.
I mean? Like the very, very first time.
And so they're delicious.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how it started.
Interesting. Cool. Tell me about fatherhood, the man Riley. How has that impacted and really changed, perhaps may or may not have changed, but what does fatherhood and being responsible for a human being mean to you? And how has that transitioned as it pertains to entrepreneurship and how you do business and how you deal with people?
Well, I guess I'll start backwards. How I deal with people. How I deal with people, I guess, reflects how things are going right now. So that's to say,
mm-hmm.
the way that I've treated people back in the past, I think it's one of the main reasons why I'm so On the Rocks has been so successful. Because you wouldn't know that, you wouldn't believe the people that remember when I served them before.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when I had my son, and I told this to somebody who's having a baby soon anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him there's this love for you right now. You have no idea. Like you have no idea until mm-hmm. you get a kid.
Mm.
And I used to hear people say that all the time in some variations.
Right, right.
But I never would have imagined it. Like loving a child, loving your child, this person that you created.
It's human, yeah.
It's human and you watching it grow all the time. It's so scary. Like I think I made a post like 2 days ago mm-hmm. about it. Like it's so scary.
Is the scariest part looking at Riley and seeing yourself in some instances?
I mean, yes. Yes. But I don't mind if he grows up and be just like me.
Okay.
I really don't.
Okay.
To be honest, I really don't. You could ask my parents. I don't think they had mm-hmm, that much mm-hmm, trouble with mm-hmm. me. You know what I mean? But one thing my father used to say, you're only a criminal if you get caught.
Mm.
So the scariest part is because there's so much love, it brings the fear.
Wow.
So then you have that balance that you have to try to deal with because when he's not near me, I think of the worst things.
Wow.
And it's such a mental thing that I have to like tell God, like, yo, can you just stop getting these thoughts wow. out of my head?
Help me out.
Like, please. Yeah. Like, I would think like the worst things just because of the fear of anything happening to him.
The fear of the world, really.
Yeah. And the fear of the world, everything else around the world. I'm already worried about when he's 18. I'm already worried about 16. You know what I mean? Like, I'm looking so far ahead, like.
Interesting.
But it's just like, I can't. But I know he's going to be okay. Like, I know he's going to be all right. My subconscious is way stronger than my mind that's in front. I know how to explain it. My back subconscious is so much stronger.
Wow.
Like, I always know things are going to be all right, no matter how bad it gets. Because mm-hmm. I could be, I'd have been in negatives for months.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
People wouldn't know.
And that's the truth. They don't have to know.
Then they don't have to know. Yeah. It's fine.
Even being authentic, even in wearing your emotions on your sleeve and sharing your testimony, you don't have to wear it so much that persons know. And I'll give you an example. day in, day out, we come here, we record news every day, delivering honest and impartial news. There's some days that you are sick. There's some days that you're not feeling well, that you're dealing with different stuff. But you get your ass up and you... Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to 284 News. You are watching live and direct. I'm Ron Grant today in today's... And that's what you do because that's who you are and that's your job and that's what you've been called to do. The world doesn't need to see the struggle. Absolutely not. Like, there's no way that needs to be a reality where we just... And perhaps social media has done that to us, you know? Absolutely. But it's really remarkable hearing your story as it pertains to, you know, Riley and seeing him grow. And that fear, I would have never imagined.
Yeah. Now I'm going to have two fears. Hmm. Another one on the way.
Interesting. So you got two fears. Congratulations. Congratulations. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to take a commercial break, but we'll be right back with more awesome conversation with Robbie the Man, Robert Twain of On the Rocks. What would you say to young men in our society? Because one of the things that I dislike sincerely about the conversation we're having is that we haven't done the groundwork. And when I say we haven't done the groundwork, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, we haven't done the legislation. We haven't amended the legislation. We haven't put policies in place. States like California took years before they even had these types of conversations. And here we are seemingly rushing into a new avenue that we have not even explored properly. But at the end of it, we have young men who are incarcerated because of marijuana. We have young men who are losing jobs because of marijuana. So there needs to be a holistic education process, Robbie, when it comes to the usage of marijuana. What encouragement, what nugget would you give to just everyday young men, persons who use it for medical purposes and recreational? What would you say to them as it pertains to our climate now and particularly for their protection?
So tough. I say don't abuse it. Don't abuse it. Everything can be abused.
Everything
Sex
in moderation.
Can be abused. Yeah. Alcohol can be abused. Netflix can be abused.
Shopping.
Shopping can be, you know what I mean? Don't abuse it. Like, there, if you sit down and smoke 6-7 joints, I'm sure, but you didn't even need the third one.
Yeah.
You can only get so high. You know what I mean? You could only get so high, bro. Like,
yeah, what are you doing?
What are you doing? You're wasting money. You could only get so high. Like, what's the point?
What are you doing?
What are you doing?
Yeah, yeah. One, maybe two.
Yeah, bro. Like, it's not necessary.
You're wasting a weed one, and you're just overdoing it. You're abusing. You're abusing it.
Well, you're not pulling the air. But I'm just saying, like, you're doing too much.
Yeah, it's not necessary.
Yeah, it's not necessary. And I would say, find another way, man. Find another way to make money, yo. There's so much ways to skin a cat. You're sitting on a block with eight other dudes selling the same product, doing the same thing. You know what I mean?
Wow.
What are you doing differently? Wow. Do you know what I mean? Like, are you marketing it differently? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if you're gonna do that, because there's some people
do it.
If 100 young men watch this hair today,
yes,
probably only 5 of them gonna listen to me. So to that 5, I would say, if that's all you can do, if you've made up your mind and that's it, that's all you're going to do, at least be the best at doing that.
Yeah, be creative.
Be creative. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we're going to get into that wall where it's going to be legal. But I mean, I don't want to say, tell people like, go, don't go.
Right. We're not selling that at all. We're not selling that product.
If that's what you're going to do, then be the best at that. Come up with a different strategy, a different way. Market yourself better. You know what I mean?
Amazing. Yeah. I mean, it's the truth though, because we see where... I mean, I don't know if it's peer pressure or just the societal norm where we're followers, but if you're going to do it well and be creative and don't just be that person. Don't just be that individual. I mean, it's a conversation that is so prevalent. Mm-hmm. And I think because of our structure, because of our societal Christian society, it's taken on a negative connotation, but it's a little bit disheartening when we leaders just speaking about it and not having the groundwork, not doing the groundwork.
Right.
But most importantly, what needs to be had is what we're doing, the education, and not telling young men what to do and how to live their lives. But if you're going to do it, remember you have a child. Remember you have a wife. Mm-hmm. Remember you have a job. Like, think about
when you reach a certain weight, invest in something else. Yeah,
absolutely.
Invest in something else. It's something you said just now about the politicians talking about it too. Mm-hmm. And not finding the groundworks. We have politicians talking about it who haven't smoked a joint in 20 years. So how can you tell me about marijuana? Where are you getting these 40 to 100 farmers? I didn't see an application. You know what I mean?
I didn't see your resume.
I didn't see your resume. Like, what are you talking about?
What qualifies you to talk about marijuana?
Oh, you're getting somebody to come in and tell you about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but hey, man.
It's the truth.
It's the reason I'm on the rocks and not in an office somewhere. Want to pull a noose around my neck. You know what I mean?
It's like, the truth. Yeah.
So I'd rather be doing this. I'd rather just be my authentic self. My hopes is to start a nonprofit organization this year.
Okay.
Somebody brought the idea to me and I was just like, yo, I've always said to myself, when I get rich, I'll do
you
this.
You have to wait.
I don't have to wait. Yeah. I don't have to wait to start helping the community. You know what I'm saying? That would be my give back. Never politics. It's not me, period. So that would be my give back. I think starting a nonprofit organization that really helps not only people, but other organizations that are struggling.
Wow.
You know what I mean? I just have like one umbrella for everybody, everything. So whether it's like going to school, seeing if they need something, going to daycare, seeing if whatever they need, seeing if another company can sponsor their electricity bill or their water bill for a couple of months.
Essentially giving back.
Pick it up. Yeah,
giving
back. Yeah, but just being a middleman
to
connect the sponsors to the person that needs it. That's it.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Robbie, this is a conversation that, I mean, we have to continue. We have to have you back. But it's been great having you on The Art of Distinguishment. A distinguished gentleman, truth, honesty. Gentlemen, I hope you were able to take away some nuggets as Robbie and I have both shared our journeys. A remarkable journey at that. We thank you so much for stopping by, man.
Thank you.
Most definitely.